Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Well, we have some interesting thoughts at the top of the show. I think you'll agree with many of them. Also, we do a very extensive Baldywood coming up. Lots of movies covered, so stay tuned for some real information coming up. First, Dos Equis, and now word from Martellus Bennett. He's a professor at the Dos Equis College Football College.
Hey, college football fans. Martellus Bennett here. Do you want to win every football argument this season? Dominate every debate? Become a pigskin prodigy? Then enroll in a Dos Equis College Football College, where you'll learn from football insiders like me, Jay Cutler, Katie Nolan, and author John Bacon, the man who wrote the book on college football. So be the first in your family to earn a football watching certificate from a beer school. Enroll in Dos Equis College Football College at dosequis.com/edu.
Finally, there's a football beer school for me. Thanks, Martellus. And thanks, Dawson.
Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly, imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Copyright 2019 Dos Equis Beer Brands, official beer sponsor of the college football playoff.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Vinny Tortorich. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a special hooray for Baldywood roundup. And now, a man who would put the testy in testimony, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Oh, hell yeah.
Gina just walked in. I said, look at the security cam.
Yep.
When you see her get out of her car, we start the show.
I was hugging Vinny, and Gary runs out. He's like, no time for hugs. Get going.
Time it perfectly. All right. We got a lot of Baldywood. We got a lot of Vinny. He's going to do a final verdict on peanuts and peanut butter and all this stuff. Gotta know.
Literally.
We'll hold his feet to the fire and see if we can get an answer. Also, then, I had a thought. It was just a very random thought today. I was up early. I was doing a whole radio tour. Two thoughts. I did a radio tour. When I do a radio tour, I oftentimes say, what is the subject? And then they'll go, oh, you got a comedy book coming out. We're going to do it on your comedy book.
Sure.
Or we're going to do it on your stand-up special. Or something of that nature. This happened to be a tour for Shelby American, the Shelby documentary. And it's available on Chassis as we speak, C-H-A-S-S-Y. And it's coming to Netflix, which is cool, but not quite yet. And it is that the 24-hour war is trending on Netflix, wow, which is cool.
Perfect.
So, but here was my interesting thought. So 2 hours, it's about 2.5 hours of radio stations, 28 radio stations. You know, you get up at 5:40. I can't go to bed until midnight, so it makes no never mind. I just get up at 5:40. I'm tired. And then we do it. When we did this one and we were done, I didn't feel spent or tired or burnt out or anything. And now I'm angry at Drew. And I'll tell you why I'm angry at Drew.
Of course.
What I realize is every single one of these interviews
was
tell us about Carroll Shelby. And I would say he's a very interesting story. Grew up poor in Texas. His dad was like a mailman, dirt roads and dusty and everything. He somehow started driving like friends' sports cars, sort of like rich guy would buy a car and go, you drive it because it's dangerous and I'm a rich guy. I'm not good at anything. And he started winning everything like locally with these guys' rich guy cars, like from this, you know, 40s, you know, like an MG or something. And eventually word got around that this guy could drive. And so people started hiring him to drive their even bigger, better car. And then eventually he's, you know, winning at Le Mans. And he wins driving an Aston Martin at Le Mans in 1959. And he gets out of the car and the doctor tells him he's got a heart problem and he can never race again. And he's got 5 years to live, basically. And so he goes, screw it. He goes back to Texas, tries to become a chicken farmer. The chickens all get Newcastle disease, and all the chickens die.
Job.
And also, race car drivers didn't. It wasn't a job that really paid in the 50s and the 60s. It was cool, but and they didn't pay you.
You're doing literally all the dangerous heavy lifting.
I know. They called them like gentlemen racers and stuff back then. It's just, it was one of those things. I mean, look, what did the NFL pay in the 50s?
Right. Guys had off-season jobs.
Right. They had to work at used car lots and stuff. The sports didn't really pay, and especially racing cars. So he had no money and blah, blah, blah. And he gets Ford and he gets AC Bristol. AC Bristol, a little car company out of England. They make little, like four-cylinder, little MG-type cars, okay, you know? And Shelby, because of his experience overseas. Now, everyone here is Detroit and muscle and V8s, big, heavy, lumbering cars. And the best thing they had here was like a Corvette, but that was still kind of a big, heavy American car. And he spends his time driving things like Aston Martins, these little sporty coupes from the 50s and Ferraris and things like that. And he figures out, to get a car to really handle and to really work, it's got to be lightweight. Okay. And because lightweight, people don't think about lightweight. Lightweight, yeah, for acceleration, yeah. But how about braking and how about turning with that mass and that weight? So we got the lightweight, and he got the European sort of road courses versus the sort of big oval going a circle or drag strips or whatever here. So he comes back to Texas with all this kind of European flavor in his head, figures out that AC Bristol has lost, I think, its engine manufacturer, its engine supplier, says to AC Bristol, give me some of those chassis without the engines, says to Ford, give me some of your new V8 engines, puts the big V8 in the little lightweight European car, and then goes out and kicks Corvette ass in that car. And that's kind of the story. And I thought, and then we're saying, what about Shelby and what about this? And then I'm like, and then he went, he did the GT40, and then he did the Daytona, and then him and Pete Brock invented the Daytona because they needed the top speed at Daytona, so they did the aerodynamics and blah, blah, blah. When I was done with the whole thing, I was like, I feel pretty good. And then I realized, normally, I feel kind of spent and ready to take a nap. And then I got mad at Drew. Because I've said to Drew a million times, we do these goddamn talk shows. You just sit there and just be the doctor.
Right.
I got to go out there and dance because I'm the comedian. Dance,
he just
dance,
says what
dance.
He knows. He just dispenses
right.
Advice,
he gives the facts.
And when I do the comedy book or the comedy tour or the comedy special,
hey Adam Carolla, what's funny about being a dad?
I'm now I have to dance times 28 calls because who the hell's going to buy the comedy special from the guy who's not funny on the 3 minute, 5 minute radio show, right? So it's like dance, 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 you know, work, work, work. Versus ask me about Carol Shelby because I'll tell you everything you need to know about Carol Shelby or Ken Miles. And all I was doing is they weren't saying be entertaining. They're going, and then what? When did Shelby? And then why did Shelby? And then how
dispense
come Shelby?
The information.
And then you saw the movie Ford v Ferrari. What was the difference? And I was just giving them the info. And I used to yell at Drew all the time, if I had to come on those goddamn shows and just talk about woodworking, it'd be the easiest goddamn day of my life.
Slight lifting.
You sit there, and he goes, oh, I have to work too. I'm like, you don't work. You sit there. I have to dance. That's the difference. And I felt it. I don't think you would feel it after two or three phone calls. But after 2.5 hours, I was like, I'm fresh. I'm ready to go.
It's mentally taxing the other way.
I did not feel tapped out like I did. It was an interesting emotional thing. Max Pat O'Clock. Please. So I then had this weird thought as I was walking Philly over to the door and getting ready to dunk myself in the swimming pool after the tour. I didn't go before. I wait till
your,
ripe
your
old
reward,
age of
your
8:20 in the morning.
Pussy, it's like 2 degrees warmer.
Sometimes I find myself getting dressed and I go,
oh, something's wrong.
Wait
something
a minute. Now you got to get in the pool. So I had a thought. Here's the thought. I don't know what you guys think of the thought. When I was young, a lot of my childhood and my friend's childhood was based around snooping around, looking for stuff. You know, parents out of town.
Where you're not supposed to be.
What's in that sock drawer?
The nudie magazines.
What's going on up in the upper shelf of that closet in the parents' room? You know what I mean? What's under that bed? You know, what's under there? Where is all this stuff?
In your case, the answer was often nothing.
There was nothing. But when I would babysit at other people's houses, a lot of snooping.
Cold mines.
A lot of snooping. Snooping for porn, snooping for food, eavesdropping, you know, listening in, like hiding. What are they talking about? What's going on? And I realize kids don't snoop anymore. There's no snooping. They don't have to snoop. They got a smartphone filled with porn.
The snoop comes to them.
Yes. They don't need to listen. Yeah. And like it was a lot of like, what are they talking about? Listen. Quiet. Yeah. Sneak in there. Don't let them know you're here.
Have the Nest cams and all that kind of eliminated that?
Yeah, I think everything, like there was, I just wrote down snooping. It was like a large part of my childhood. Like, I'm going to go in my sister's room. I'm going to close the closet. I'm going to hear what she says with her friends. You know, or I'm going to look.
Oh, there's a plot of every other movie.
Yeah, and there was a peek through the curtain.
Oh, yeah.
She's changing, kind of. There was just a lot of snooping and peering and peeping. Tomming.
Remember Diner? That was like the whole the subplot in Diner.
There was just...
Carol Heathrow.
It was... look, you watch... Any of the great movies like Private School with Matthew Modine.
For example,
it's all I'm going to dress as a girl and then I'm going to go into the locker rooms. Like a lot of going into the locker room. I'm going to sneak into the locker room and I'm sneaking and
very
peeking
Porky's.
And Porky's. No more.
Well, and you know,
everyone's buried in porn, not leaving the sofa.
Another part of that when you said, like, you know, oh, this room or oh, this closet, there are not rooms that kids aren't allowed to go into anymore.
No.
We weren't allowed in the living room. We weren't allowed in my parents' bedroom. Now you just waltz wherever you want.
I know. And so if there's a situation where people were out of town, I never did it with my dad because my dad just had a, you know, shoebox full of fucking sawdust. And tears on top of the shelf in his closet. My dad didn't, you know, there was no gun, there was no porno, there was no dildo, there was no nothing. Someone should combine all those three and make the ultimate weapon. But.
Pleasure weapon.
I didn't bother looking with him. What Mike August calls an empty bag.
Right.
My dad, there's nothing.
Empty
I know
box.
There's nothing there, but I'd go to other people's house. There was a porn stash.
Oh, yeah.
There's a general naughty stash. Like, is there a gun? Is there a vibrator? Like, what is that? There was. Pictures of them, possibly, that they didn't want out,
money.
Kind of thing.
There was a change.
There was money.
That's a quarter
there was the
jar.
Change. Yeah. There's the change jar, the change bucket. It's like, how many dimes and quarters can I pinch without them knowing that it's a little light, Yeah. There was that.
I can't replace it with sand.
Right. There was a sneaking of the booze. You know, it was like water it back down again. Water the booze down. There was money. There was porno. There was guns.
Beer.
Oh, there was beer, booze. There's also a food thing. Like some people had candy or something like that stashed away. Just in general,
cigarettes.
Snooping about.
Yeah.
Snooping. I have never seen, my kids are 13. They're like, it's prime snooping years.
Yeah.
No snooping.
What's there to snoop?
No snoop.
It's all there in the palm of their hand.
Zero snoop. They just fucking sit in a room with their big screen TVs and their smartphones and they don't want to go anywhere. They're not interested in what's in anyone's closet. It's just, I just remember, like, I don't know why it somehow struck me. I wasn't snooping around, but I could remember that feeling, like, oh, you're in your friend's house. Yep. The parents are gone. Like, ooh, what have we here?
Now, yeah, I know what you got to do. Plant some shit in Sonny's closet and then sort of casually mention, like, you know, to the friend, like, hey, you didn't hear it from me, but boy's got himself a butterfly knife. And let him have fun. You know, boys be boys.
Well, I just thought about all those things, and I think it's probably because kids were kids and adults were adults, and there was a lot of off-limit areas.
Adult stuff, yeah.
A lot of that, and then there was a lot of, like, you don't touch my tools. You know, those are my tools.
Yep.
I had the ultimate. I always tell you guys, I was always starving and always going to other people's houses and always getting into the pantry and wanting to make the instant pudding and get into all the stuff. And if I found space bars or space sticks or Tang or anything, it was like, oh my God, I would go nuts.
Attack it.
I would attack it. But what I never really talked about is I had the exact same thing. I literally just did 28 interviews and like, why Shelby or why this doc or why the 24-hour war? Are you a gearhead? And I was like, yes, I am. I'm a gearhead. I like building. I've always liked building, and it's in me, and it's in me hard. And if like somebody said, okay, no more monkeying with cars, no more cars in general, and no more building and no more projects, I would probably kill myself because it's that important to me. Wow. It plays that big a role in my life. And I said it was always in me. I was always into it. And then, of course, growing up in my house, it was essentially like being tortured because we didn't have garages or tools or anything. We had a weird run of living in multiple valley houses with no garages, which is weird because the one thing all these houses had was a garage.
You may as well grow up into like the cosmos or Mars or something. You know what I mean? Like it was just as much of a chance of exploring that.
My mom's house, Max Pata will attest to, did not have a garage. My grandparents' house had a garage that was made into my grandpa's den, and they had a carport. My dad's farmhouse or A-frame had a garage that we found out my sister lived in with her boyfriend. That was converted into whatever.
So it was always a dwelling.
My dad's second house had a garage ended up living in. There, I've never had a functional garage, and I never had tools. And also, you can't afford tools when you're 11. That's a dad item. No. And if your dad has no tools, then you have no tools.
You got
tools.
Nothing.
It's not exactly snooping, but like for me anyway, just going into the garage and just playing with, didn't know what it was for, but it was a cool-looking tool and just kind of playing around with it.
I would go to everybody else's house. I had a guy named Brian Woods. He lived up the street. His dad worked for Lockheed. He was kind of an outdoorsy guy, hunter and stuff. He had a garage full of tools. And so I found myself toggling between the garage and the pantry. Like, I'd be in people's houses, and I'd be like,
I'm hungry.
And it was funny. If I was in the kitchen, then the mom was like, young man, march yourself. But then I'd be in the garage with the tools all out, and the dad would come around and go, hey, those are my sockets. What are you doing with those things? You know, there was a lot of weird stuff wasn't cranked out in China. You couldn't get a 99-piece socket set for $40 at Home Depot anymore.
Prized possession.
These were like a big ticket items. And so what would happen is you'd be in the garage, you'd have all the sockets out, and dad would come pulling up the driveway, like, run! Dive through the window like you're beginning a SWAT, do a shoulder roll into the next yard. So I had I had the pantry and I had the tools to contend with. And if I knew a dude who had a full garage, like with a vice, bench vice, sure, and hacksaw and stuff, I'd be like, we gotta go out to the garage. Wait, we gotta make pudding first.
No, let's bring it to the
make
garage.
The instant pudding, we bring it to the garage.
You make the pudding, I'll meet you in the garage.
And the weird part about all these kids is they'd go, I'm not in the mood for pudding. Let's go out and play basketball. And I go, what do you mean you're not in the mood for pudding? That's banana pudding. It's instant pudding. We can make it in 2 minutes. It's called instant pudding. Why aren't you eating pudding? And they'd be like, I don't know.
We can eat pudding by now.
Yeah. I was so beaked up.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
I couldn't believe that they weren't eating it. Yeah. And it was so part of their life.
So accessible.
That there was no,
no biggie.
Was no never mind. Although I had a funny thing last night. Natalia was making herself cookies. And when I say make,
that's nice. Oh, it is. Was she cutting up?
She had the mixer. She had the eggs.
Yeah, did she have the pre-made Toll House stuff?
She has a tub.
Okay.
In the tub is a substance known as cookie dough.
Sure.
She takes a spoon, dunks it in, lops it onto the foil, and then puts it in the oven.
I'm guessing the cookie dough came as cookie dough and was not constructed from other ingredients.
It was,
if it was, that's impressive.
It was constructed in the Pillsbury factory in Muncie, Indiana, by illegals.
I should have known.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Vinny's putting his wallet in his mouth in the next room now so he doesn't have an epileptic seizure. So she puts the big gob in one thing and the gob in the other, and she's going to make herself some fresh baked cookies.
Fresh. Just like, say fresh.
Just like grandma used to make.
Yeah, sure.
And she makes the cookie, and Lynette and Sonny come home as she's putting them in the oven, and she goes, Dad, say one of the cookies is for you. Because she's made two for herself. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because Mom will eat the other cookie, so you say the cookie's for you. And I said, Natalia, have you ever seen me eat a cookie in this house? And she goes, no. And I go,
first
okay.
First time everything.
So I don't know how this is going to work. And then at some point, she like literally, Lynette like walked in the kitchen and she was slamming the oven door. Like it couldn't have,
see here.
Couldn't have been worse. But yes, I agree. Oh, and I shall give my recipe for cranberries because
yes, the beloved recipe.
If you're gonna make cookies, make cookies, and if you're gonna make cranberry sauce, don't open a can. That is my feeling. Somebody has a solution for Mike August's this Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Oh, this should solve it forever.
It'll never come up again after this.
Right. Just like when Nate was in here saying tomorrow.
Yeah.
Couple times. There is no. It's just people are a package.
Yeah.
You have to live with that. You have to decide if the overall package is a good thing or not.
That's right.
But as I've learned, you don't correct or fix.
Calibrate yourself.
I've had that conversation with Mike 123 times. It does not. It doesn't work.
This is where it ends.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
Look, my ultimate argument is when it is two Tuesdays from now, you don't go, not next Tuesday, but next Tuesday. You go, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. So you do toggle back to my way. So we should always stay there. Chad?
Hey, how's it going?
Solution for Mike August calling this Tuesday, next Tuesday, when we're past the Tuesday in the week prior to that Tuesday?
Well, my solution was for if it's less than a week, it's just Tuesday. There's no this Tuesday. There's no next Tuesday. If it's less than a week away, it's just that day.
This is happening so Tuesday.
That is good.
Right. Yeah.
That is
simplifies
good.
Simplifies things.
This should solve it.
You don't have any question about whether it's this or next. It's just Tuesday.
Yeah,
simple.
It's
like
good.
It.
It's good. The problem is we do a lot of, it's good. We do a lot of like, you're going to be in San Diego on the first doing a stand-up show, and I do a lot of, what day is that? Then Michael pause and go, the first. And I go, yeah, right. I heard that part.
Day of the week.
Okay. Is that a Saturday? And then he'll go, Sunday. It's a Sunday. So the only problem with the Tuesday floating is there is lots of dates out there with with days attached to them.
Almost every. Almost every day.
Almost everyone these days. Seems like more and more these days.
But get away from it.
I will go with this Tuesday. I will try this, Chad.
And maybe, Chad, I really like where your head's at. And maybe to combine forces and really weaponize this into something that cannot be screwed up, do you always take a peek at the calendar and say, so this is happening Tuesday the 22nd?
It wouldn't hurt.
And you never, and you, and then there's no pronouns.
The problem
attached.
Is though, like if you're having a conversation about like, hey, on Wednesday we're going to record blah, blah, blah. We don't know what today was Wednesday. You know what I mean? It's Thursday now. We know what today is Wednesday.
I agree. If you say Wednesday, it'll, or Tuesday, it implies the closest one without any other conversations. But also,
we'll see.
Mike could just go this. Because there's no other, there's no wiggle room in this once you're past Tuesday of that week. And I would also argue, even if you're in Tuesday of that week, you say this, it means the one that's closest.
He'll find the wiggle room.
But thanks, thanks, Chad.
You've always got the mic factor.
There's always the mic factor. All right, drop the mic. Let's see. Hashtag drop the mic. All right. We have some Baldy. We got a lot. How many Baldy woods do we have?
8 movies. So I've been seeing a lot of movies lately, and we happen to be in a good little pocket right now where there's some really good movies, some above average, some very above average, that people can see right now either streaming or in theaters. So I'm going to round up my 8 favorites that I've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Maybe 3 weeks, but you know, they're in theaters now.
Let me hit betonline.ag and then we'll get to that. NFL weekly pick'em charity contest, NFL college football plus NBA action. Visit betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code podcast1. There you go, for a 50% sign up bonus. Matchups week 12.
Jesus.
Are we in week 12?
It's playoffs.
I feel like I'm waiting for the season to start for my whole life, and now it's week 12. Carolina Saints, it's going to be a good game. Cowboys, Patriots, ooh, interesting game. Green Bay, San Fran, maybe better. Seahawks, Eagles, that's a good one. Ravens, Rams, I hope that's a good one. We've got $500 in rewards to give out each week to 5 listeners and 5,000 season-long charity contests. Join the conversation. Shoot us a tweet at hashtag SportsNetChallenge. New England over Dallas. That's my lock of the week. Use the promo code podcast1. Receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. All right, quick break. Right back with Baldy Wood right after this.
Adam Carolla Show fans, get it on. The Carolla Newsletter is here. You may be wondering, why are we launching a newsletter? Well, it's our way of saying thank you. Thank you for years and years of listening. Each week, we'll bring you inside the hallowed halls of ACS with behind-the-scenes stories from Adam, the lackeys, co-hosts, and ACS regulars. We'll also bring you exclusive video from Adam that you can't see anywhere else, deals you can't get anywhere else, guest updates, and highlights from the week that was ACS. To show you how much we at Corolla Drinks mean business, when you sign up at CorollaNewsletter.com, we'll send you a free gift from the ACS family that you won't want to miss. Sign up for free today at CorollaNewsletter.com and get ready, because every week, the Ace Man will be right there in your inbox. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, Craig in Saratoga. 3 quick things. 1, it's almost impossible for me to meet somebody named Mike and not call him a fuckass at this point. 2, rich man, poor man, has no idea what airport security is like. And 3, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right, the great Vinny Tortorich coming in next. But
is that a different Vinny?
Now it's time for Baldy Wood.
Hooray for Baldy Wood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Bollywood.
So like I mentioned, every movie I'll be discussing is either above average at the very least or very, very good. So let's go worst to first. And we'll spend just a little bit of time in the movies because there are 8 of them. So first, have you guys heard of The Laundromat?
No.
The Laundromat is a Netflix movie. It's on Netflix now, starring Meryl Streep. Ostensibly starring Meryl Streep. I'll get into that in a second. It is directed by Steven Soderbergh. He made a Netflix movie called The Laundromat. And,
Made Magic Mike.
He made a lot of movies, Ocean's mm-hmm. 11. And,
but yeah, mostly,
and
Magic,
mostly
Mike.
Magic Mike. Mostly Magic Mike. Do you ever see Magic Mike?
Once or twice.
Okay. Meryl Streep, like I said, Gary Oldman, Antonio Banderas, Sharon Stone, James Cromwell, David Schwimmer, Jeffrey Wright, Will Forte, Chris Parnell, Robert Patrick, Larry Wilmore, and Cristela Alonso. This is a huge cast. That's part of the problem with mm-hmm. The Laundromat. It's a good movie. It's sort of like The Big Short, right? Like it's sort of like The Big Short for the Panama Papers. You know, you guys remember the Panama Papers? This was the banking stuff that came out of all the offshore accounts.
Oh yeah.
Yep. I was waiting on the Magic Mike to get the no box set, which sorry, I just had to wait on that joke for a while, but yes, go ahead.
So this is like The Big Short for the Panama Papers, which was the leaked documents relating to offshore accounts for drug dealers and other, not necessarily all criminals, but mm-hmm. offshore accounts.
Yes,
you can do
yeah,
the math from
right,
there.
Right.
The problem with the movie is that there are so many stories going on. Like Meryl Streep is kind of the main story, but we go back to so many stories back and forth. They're all ostensibly compelling, but it could have been like a miniseries or could have like spent one episode on each, you know, story. As it is, it's a good movie. I give about a B-. Let's watch a little clip because it's told in an interesting way. So the two main guys who are like the perpetrators of the Panama Papers, these two bankers, are played by Banderas and Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman doing his best Werner Herzog here. And they break the fourth wall and they address the audience directly. And right here they're shopping for some reason in a grocery store. And they're going to explain the difference between privacy and security.
Now, privacy and secrecy are two different things. Privacy is locking the bathroom door when you want to take a pee. Secrecy, on the other hand, is locking the door because what you are doing in a bathroom isn't what people usually do. And sometimes, after privacy has had a few drinks, you might decide he wants to spend the night with a secrecy just to explore their relationship. But where can they be together without people peeking in through the curtains? Well, usually in an offshore company. That way, someone looks in a window, they see an empty room. And the window and the room could be in two different places.
Yeah, the window could be in the British Virgin Islands and the room could be in
China. Goes all the way to China. Mel found it on the internet. They had the whole story.
Mom, I think you're spending too much time obsessing on this.
Politicians are doing it. It's not just criminals. Bribery, corruption, money laundering, millions and millions and millions of dollars.
So if people listening may have been confused, we cut at one, not cut. We literally just picked up another couple talking. It was Meryl Streep and her daughter. Meryl Streep has been wronged by these guys, and this is how the story is told. It's a little ambitious and doesn't quite come together. So
it reminded me of like the Selena Gomez poker scene in The Big Short.
A lot of it reminded me of The Big Short. Yeah. And made you long for The Big Short.
Mm.
So B- for this one. It's good. It's just, you know, it's a Netflix movie, so
it's
stream it if you want to check it out. Mm-hmm. Better than that is The Report. You guys heard about The Report?
Mm-mm.
So The Report is written and directed by a man named Scott Z. Burns. He wrote Contagion. He wrote The Bourne Ultimatum.
I'm laughing because every time you bring up one of these movies, I haven't heard of it. And I go, how come I haven't heard of it? I'll tell you why. I was watching T.J. Hooker last night.
You know why you haven't heard of it.
That's why I haven't heard it. But go ahead.
He also wrote The Informant. These are all movies that I like. And it stars Adam Driver, and this is the story of the torture report that came out, the internal like investigation of the CIA that came out.
I was telling those guys, I'm not ready for him to be a superstar.
I love Adam Driver. You don't like Adam Driver?
No, I don't dislike him.
He's a great everyman.
I want some Charles Bronson. I want some fucking and fighting.
He's today's everyman.
I don't want to, we can have sex or no. Or no, you tell me. I don't know. I just want that dude. I grew up with like Chuck Heston in a loincloth, like fighting an ape. You know what I mean?
Those days are long.
This guy's just like, guy.
Funny mention that because he's the bad guy in these new Star Wars movies, right? He's Kylo Ren, and he's kind of like emo Darth Vader. Like he's kind of like introspective and really
Loves the Cure.
Really tortured.
It's always don't ask, because I could never, you know, that guy's been on the scene since Girls,
yep,
pretty much. And if someone
famous.
Went, hey, this guy's going to be a big movie star, like we saw him in Girls, mm-hmm. like you'd go, he's not going to be a big movie star.
Oh, no, he'll be everywhere.
He's going to
be in four movies a year.
He'll be the friend of Brad Pitt.
Oh, no, no, no.
He's not going to be the...
He's headlining five movies a year.
I'd be like, you're insane. He's not going to be that guy.
This also stars Annette Bening as Diane Feinstein. She was the one who sort of, you know, pushed the reporter, wanted, you know, pushed the investigation. Mm-hmm. And Adam Driver is the guy who does the investigating, the lead investigator. It's for what should be a very boring movie. It's actually really well written, really good characters, good performances, good tension. It's kind of like The Social Network in that respect. Mm-hmm. Like, this shouldn't be good, but I was pretty compelled. Doesn't quite come together to be great. It's just good. So I give this one a B. Let's listen to a quick clip. This is from the beginning of the trailer.
After 9/11, everyone was scared. Possible hijacked plane. Scared it might happen again. Obvious terrorist attack. It was my second day of grad school. Next day, I changed all my classes to national security.
Morning, Dan.
Morning, Senator.
Have you seen the story today in the New York Times?
Evidently, the CIA destroyed tapes of interrogations of Al-Qaeda detainees.
I want to find out what was on the tapes and why they were destroyed.
No paper.
Paper is a way of getting people in trouble at our place.
At our place, paper is how we keep track of laws.
Yeah, good movie.
Wait, Soderbergh again?
Soderbergh produced it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is Scott Z. Burns. Mm. And this is 81% of Rotten
Tomatoes. Soderbergh is like Guy Fieri now.
Names everywhere.
Fucking, you want to sell your sandwich? Put my fucking fat head on it. We'll sell 10 of them.
Yeah, Mario Batali. Yeah, sure. That's,
put your shit. What do you got?
Take me to Flavortown.
Guy, that's the bathroom in the Burbank. Yeah, put my name on the door. But it says men's room. Just put my fucking name on the door. You get 30% more fecal matter. 22% more urine. Just go ahead. Put your fucking name on. Hey, Guy, that's my son. Yeah, yeah. He's now, his name is Guy. I'm sponsoring him.
So, 81% Rotten Tomatoes, just about right. This is streaming on Netflix starting on Thanksgiving weekend. So, if you're interested, you can stream this on Amazon. Did I say Netflix?
It said Amazon.
Yeah, sorry. Amazon. Streaming on Amazon Prime Video as of 11/29.
All right.
A movie I liked a little better than most people. Have you guys heard about Motherless Brooklyn?
I've heard of it, and I was very curious about your opinion.
I was watching T.J. Hooker running down a punk and talking to him. Punk on the ground,
ooh,
you know?
This involves a lot of snooping.
Ooh.
Motherless Brooklyn is written and directed written and directed by Edward Norton, who also stars in the film. This is based on a novel, and this is a straight, like, detective noir out of the, like, you know, the 40s or late 40s, early 50s. It's that whole thing where he's in New York and there are gumshoes, you know what I mean?
Hard boiled.
A lot of dames.
I heard a lot of good things, or I heard the commercials look good or whatever, and then I saw the Rotten Tomatoes score and it didn't seem very good.
Rotten Tomatoes
I wasn't
is 61 as of last I checked. This is the tale of two movies, because there are some, as you would imagine, a movie directed by an actor and an actor of the caliber of Edward Norton. Great performances. He plays a guy with Tourette's and he's constantly twitching and, you know, he's doing the whole thing.
Oh, he loves that shit.
He is fantastic. Without that performance, the movie's pretty average. It's just kind of a noir movie where they're just kind of detectiving and, you know, but him and Willem Dafoe, Alec Baldwin, there's so many great performances in this movie. I ended up liking it because of that. I can see people kind of wavering, but I would not be shocked to see Edward Norton up for Best Actor. It's crowded field, but he was spectacular.
All right.
So I give that one a B. And then now we're moving. Okay, now here's a fun movie. Maybe a lot of people have seen this and certainly heard about it. Dolomite Is My Name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a Netflix movie. That one is directed by Craig Brewer. He did Hustle and Flow. And it stars Eddie Murphy as Rudy Ray Moore, also known as Dolomite, his character from the 70s. I didn't know anything about Dolomite. You were alive then? I didn't know Dolomite.
You would hear, like, references and Eddie Murphy stand-up routines or Eddie Murphy bits or other black comedian bits do Dolomite. They, you know, had Dolomite.
Oh, hugely influential.
They had Shaft. They had little-known Superfly.
Mm-hmm.
They had, like, the black 70s, early 70s, late 60s sort of black cool PI, whatever. Was Dolomite a PI?
He was. It was very tongue-in-cheek. So Rudy Ray Moore, this real-life guy, played by Eddie Murphy, was... Yeah, there's the actual poster. Was, you know, sort of almost The Room-esque, like convinced he could be this superstar movies. And the movie was so bad, I think it was good. That's how I understand the appeal.
Yeah.
But this is everyone involved in this movie clearly loved Dolomite, like Craig Brewer, the director, Eddie Murphy. Like, they really sink their teeth in. Wesley Snipes is in this. He's fantastic as the this is about a making of a movie, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like a lot of movie on set stuff. Can we listen to the Chris? Can we listen to the banging theme song sung by Craig Robinson? Be on that queued up on Netflix.
That Craig Robinson?
Oh yeah. He's back. Song rules. He's a tough son of a gun, y'all. He's Dolomite. I heard of his even before his time. Correct down a little bit. I think Eddie Murphy has as a better chance than Edward Norton to be up for Best Actor. He's all over this movie. Let's check out the clip I sent you guys of Eddie Murphy. What's that?
Was the band the Nasty Delicious? That's Craig Robinson's band.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's the actual Dolomite song.
Oh, okay.
They're doing like a cover version of it, so maybe. But here's the character of Rudy Ray Moore explaining. Here's what Dolomite is.
I'm not really no pimp. I ain't got no stable of hoes. I just created a character. I do it all the time. I've been Prince Dumas. I've been the Harlem Hillbilly. And tonight, look at this here. Just tug on.
Tug on this?
Mm-hmm. Just to give a little tug. Just a little. Don't tug too hard. Don't take the motherfucker off.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's a motherfucker.
That's right. It's all pretend. You put on a cape and turn into a fucking superhero. Leave the real you behind. Go on stage.
Magic, huh?
Eddie Murphy was fantastic.
Let me say this. You're black, you're pimp, you're cool. You're Vietnamese, you're pimp, you're doing human trafficking.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. You got the math.
We need a Dolomite-type character for the Vietnamese, is what you're saying.
I'm saying, Max Pata, this is a slight against all Asian cultures.
If you are an
Asian male and, in fact, a gentleman of leisure... and a pimp, you're basically human trafficking, sex trafficking.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're black, you're just the coolest dude in town.
That's right.
What's up?
Bad look for us.
I don't know. Yeah, but you can do the exact same thing. Turning out some bitches, you know, picking them up on the streets.
I know.
And yet, you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
Black guy.
Someone take up the flag.
Wearing a fur coat.
Oh.
You're the cool guy.
But love
they have it.
It
so easy.
Celebrate it even.
They've had it too good for too long.
Take that to the internet. Let's see if we can get some turn this thing around.
All right.
So,
question about this. Yeah. Do you think Eddie Murphy gets any points at this point? Because just 30 seconds of hearing his voice, I was excited. I was happy to hear it.
Yeah.
So is there any bit of that? Just seeing him on the screen makes you happy
again.
We
love when the greats come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what Eddie Murphy did here.
He's a great talent.
He is.
A great actor and can do anything he wants.
So I give that a B+, and that's on Netflix. Check it out right now if you'd like. It's a fun movie. Also a B+, and an even stronger bet for an Oscar nomination for acting, supporting acting, Shia LaBeouf and Honey Boy.
Mm. Don't know anything about this.
Honey Boy. Oh, Honey Boy. Okay, I've not seen too many movies like Honey Boy. It is directed by Alma Harrell and written by Shia LaBeouf.
I didn't know. I was talking to the guys from No Safe Spaces, and they were like, we're at the Burbank AMC 16, and they're like, we're going to come in number third or something. And then I was like, who are we coming in third in front of? Mm. And they were like, we're the Shia LaBeouf movie. And I said, oh, that
Transformers Agents.
Pumpernickel Turtle movie or what the fuck?
Oh, the peanut butter turtle or something.
That guy?
Falcon.
And they're like,
Falcon.
That one? And he's like, no, this one. I'm like, I don't know this
Honey
one.
Boy.
Honey Boy.
So
I've seen billboards around
Honey
now.
Boy is a very unique movie and a spectacular performance by Shia LaBeouf. So he wrote it in rehab, sort of like as rehab, therapy about him growing up with his dad. Because he was a child actor, sort of managed by his dad. His dad was his chaperone, and his dad is a fucking nut, at least according to his portrayal of him of his own dad.
Yeah, I want to now apologize to my dad. Thank you for being nothing.
Yeah,
it could have been a nut, could have been a homicidal maniac, could have been a gambling addict.
But
could have been a man about
barely
could have been
existed.
Dolomite. Thank you for being nothing.
So it's a weird movie because Noah Jupe, who's like 12 years old, stars as a young working actor Shia LaBeouf. Lucas Hedges, who you might remember from Manchester by the Sea, the teenager from he stars as adult Shia LaBeouf, and Shia LaBeouf co-stars as his dad.
Is this the billboard with the guy with the pie in the face, or all the shaving cream in his face or whatever.
Pie in the face. Sorry. This is 93% of Rotten Tomatoes. It's a brisk 93 minutes. Let's listen to a clip of Honey Boy playing cards with his dad. You can kind of get an idea of how his dad is.
No, you did not. You had the six. God, I knew it, too. I knew you had it. I knew it. I saw it. I saw it on your face. Put it down. 86.
I'm getting better. Because you're lying. Learning to lie.
Well, you lie for a living, poop butt.
We all do.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, sir.
You lie.
I'm telling you, I'm a lot of things. A liar's not one of them, buddy.
Why won't you hold my hand?
So a complicated relationship, as you can see, that the dad's prone to joy and rage and mixed emotions at any time.
I remember seeing him in Battle of Shaker Heights.
Yeah.
Which was the first season of Project Greenlight. Yeah.
Right. That was a young show.
None of those movies ever worked out. It was a crazy thing. It was like they started with 100, and then Matt and Ben vetted it down until only one was left, and the one... Average score of Rotten Tomatoes, 29. Yeah. Like they vetted everything, and they could never get a good movie to come out of the other end.
I think the Battle of Shaker Heights was the best one of the three.
Yeah. May have been. I don't know.
Anyway, guys, prepare yourself to live in a world where Shia LaBeouf is a double Oscar nominee. That could happen. He could win. He could be up for writing. He could be up for supporting actor.
Wow.
I'm not ready to live in that world. All right, get into our top three now. These are all A-minuses or above. And the most surprising movie I've seen maybe all year... Doctor Sleep. The sequel to The Shining.
This doesn't seem like a Brian movie.
It does not seem like a Brian movie. I was out on this before I ever got in. And now I'm in.
Really?
What? It's a really good movie, you guys.
It's a little low on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's like 76 Lost I Saw. It's better than that.
All right. I'm in.
Set it right away. It is no The Shining. The Shining is an all-time classic, and this is a very effective like horror thriller, right? Mm-hmm. So this is directed by Mike Flanagan. He did a whole bunch of horror movies that I have not seen. The Haunting of Hill House, I guess, is a series that people like. Ewan McGregor stars as grown-up Danny Torrance, mm-hmm. and he's like a tortured alcoholic. He's just, given things he's seen. It's totally understandable. And this is based on the novel by Stephen King. He wrote a novel in 2013 called Dr. Sleep, and this was greenlit after the success of It. Obviously, it was a massive hit.
Sure.
Less of a horror movie, more of a thriller, but I found it like super effective. I quite enjoyed this movie.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes got on Maxipan?
76 last I saw.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. I love these kinds of movies. I just didn't know.
It's effective. I was prepared. Maybe it's low expectations. I was prepared for this. Like, why are they making this? What's the point? Why do I want to see it? Oh, no. It's good. It's above average.
Not a jump scare movie.
No. Slow burn movie.
All right.
The Shining is an all-time classic, and this is just very good. This is in theaters now. I think it's doing pretty well.
76, okay. Maxipan gave the thumbs up. So, yes.
Top two movies. Have you guys heard about Parasite?
Yes. And I told you the reason why I refused to see it is because too many people called it important.
I think Shatner was talking about it on TJ Hooker. I think that's how I heard. I think I may have been having some scotch.
Prescience. Parasite is not important. We talked about off the air. This is not an important movie. No, it's not at all.
That just means boring and I'm supposed to see it.
So Parasite's directed by a guy named Bong Joon-ho. It's a Korean movie. And Bong Joon-ho is a very... Okay, so... I have the relationship with Bong Joon-ho that I have with Pearl Jam, which is everyone loves Bong Joon-ho, and I just don't see what people see. And Pearl Jam is a good band. I like a lot of their songs, but I don't understand people who go nuts for Pearl Jam.
You're not a fanatic.
Like, I will never see what you see in this band. Either good, but easy. Everyone seems to agree.
My feeling on Pearl Jam is they have... a few songs that are excellent and then some other songs that are good, but I'm not.
But you know they're fanatics, right?
There's I don't know what to say. His name, he's from Seinfeld and then he's from everything, the Hertz commercial, the rental car commercial.
Not Riggle, but the other big guy, yeah. Warburton.
Warburton. Patrick Warburton is an absolute fanatic who follows him everywhere. Huh. Yes. You would not think it, but he is. He is that guy. Yes.
So Bong Joon-ho has made movies like the one you guys would know the most. He makes mostly Korean movies, but he made Snowpiercer, the one about that train. Mm-hmm. I like Snowpiercer, but everyone loves this guy's movies. I ended up liking Parasite quite a bit. The less you know going into it, the better, so I don't want to spoil anything for you. It's also in Korean, so there's no clips. But there's also a lot of... cultural references, you know what I mean, that I don't think I quite understood.
Everything's subtitled?
Everything is subtitled. It's kind of a thriller. I don't want to give too much away, though. There's a lot of themes of the 1% versus the 99%. There's a lot of themes of, you know, class warfare and stuff like that. But it's a solid thriller. I'm sorry I'm not selling it very well.
You don't need to sell it. I read the poster. It says the most talked about movie in Korea.
Like, done and done.
Yeah. This guy has the hairiest ass in all of Korea.
I will say this for it though. Critics have it at 99. Audience has it at 93. Everyone can agree this is a really good movie.
That's high.
So I wouldn't be shocked for it to be up for best foreign language film. It'll certainly be up for best foreign language film. Check it out now. The best movie I've seen. It's a bit anticlimactic because we've talked about it so much. Ford v Ferrari.
Wow, it's surprised you liked it.
It's a fucking great movie. Compare it to A Star Is Born in the sense that this is the best movie we're going to get out of the big studio machine these days. You know what I mean? And it's also like A Star Is Born in the sense, you put up the Rotten Tomatoes scores, but I think it's like 90, it's like 92, 90, you know what I mean?
It's 92, 98.
Is it even higher amongst the audience?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. It's a real crowd pleaser. Yeah, wow. 92, 98. This is a movie everyone can agree is really good. Directed by James Mangold, of course. Everyone knows we talk about this movie a ton. The sound design was spectacular.
It was immersive.
This is a movie I'd highly recommend people see in the theater. Yeah. There are plenty of movies people can see at home and enjoy just as much. And this is a crowd pleaser. Like, this is a date movie. Any gender, any age can enjoy this movie.
Yeah, I a couple things. One is most all that early stuff took place at Willow Springs, which is interesting because I've done so many events at Willow Springs and it hasn't changed. It's just Willow Springs. So it was kind of when he's, you know, driving his Cobra through Willow Springs and trying to beat Dan Gurney or Bob Bondurant. It's like, but Dan Gurney, I've done like his last interview. Bondurant, I've interviewed all these guys. So when you see Bondurant or Gurney or like Phil Hill or Phil Hill died earlier. But when you see all these names, I'm like, these are all McLaren died too. But these are all guys I've spoken to, or many guys I've spoken to. Every time they go, hey, Charlie, come over here. Charlie's like throwing firecrackers out the window. I'm like, Charlie, knock that off. That's Charlie Acapu. That's the young kid who I interviewed for the 24-Hour War, and we interviewed him for the Shelby doc. I think he's in the Shelby doc, but yeah, probably. So the point is all these guys I've talked to, so now you see young versions of them. Dan Gurney, his son played him, and then Phil Remington, who was a cool character.
He was in the movie.
Or whatever. That guy, it's like his workstation was at Gurney's shop. Then it's like, Phil just died. That's his workstation.
So this will be up for multiple Oscars, not just technical. Like this could be that one movie that everyone just agrees is really, really good. It could be up for a dozen Oscars. Here's how good it is. I'm going to play a clip, and it's not going to have Matt Damon or Christian Bale in it. This is John Bernthal as a Ford executive explaining to Henry Ford II's face what they need to do to get better.
Ferrari. Now, they've won 4 out of the last 5 Le Mans. We need to think like Ferrari.
Ferrari makes fewer cars in a year than we make in a day. We spend more on toilet paper than they do on their entire output. You want us to think like them.
Enzo Ferrari will go down in history as the greatest car manufacturer of all time. Why? Is it because he built the most cars? It's because of what his cars mean. Victory. Ferrari wins at Le Mans. People, they want some of that victory. Now, what if the Ford badge meant victory?
I love Bernthal so much. He's such a great actor.
That's a very Mad Men moment that I really love.
He's also saying it to Henry Ford the next second's face that ends up Ferrari's going to go down as the greatest car manufacturer of all time.
Well,
it's a great moment.
When we did the 24-Hour War, currently streaming on Netflix, I just said, oh, this is Ken Miles. Ken Miles, this is the story. That's the story.
It's a great story.
This story is the Ken Miles story. And it's so weird now. We see Peter Miles, his grown-up son, is always taken care of. Max Pata met him. He's taking care of a friend of ours, a car collection, and he's always at the track. And he's son now, the big grown-up son, the, I don't know, 62-year-old son, is working on this guy's 935 that's in my run group of races. So I say hi to that guy 3 months ago. There he is, just working on the cars. It's like
he should be real proud because
was working on cars.
Yeah, this story is about the son, the dad, the buddy story between Carroll Shelby and Ken Miles. It hits all the right notes.
Yeah. It's fun.
Highly recommended. See that in theater. Good date night movie. Check him out.
Hooray for Bollywood!
Oh, thank God it's making a 24-hour trend. It's like trending number one on Netflix.
Because
of this. Every single person I spoke to today went, did you guys make that movie because you knew? I said, you know what I said to everybody? What movies are coming out in 2022?
Yeah. And they went, we should get on that.
Get the hot scoop.
I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, all right. Well, whatever you know.
I'll make
it
next
going time. Because it takes two years.
If this movie's really successful, like at the Oscars and stuff, you could have like a nice echo effect for the 24-Hour War. You know, people are checking it out at home.
Yeah, well, the 24-Hour War is 3 years old, but Shelby is today.
Uh-huh.
So we have Shelby, and they're both kind of the same story. I mean, as a matter of fact, the reason Shelby was a little easier, and we worked with the Shelby family on it, is after we did the 24-Hour War, there was a huge chunk in the middle about Shelby and Shelby developing these cars and developing the Daytona. And there was a lot of, Phil Remington, master mechanic, blah, blah, blah. We had this big chunk. But the movie was about Ford v. Ferrari at Le Mans, not about Shelby. Right. And we took like a 20-minute break in the middle of the movie to talk about all this different stuff Shelby was doing. And at a certain point, I just kind of made an executive decision. And I said, we got to take this huge Shelby chunk out because it's taken us away from the momentum of the story of Le Mans, the clock's ticking and blah, blah, blah. So we'll put that aside, and then we'll just do a separate Shelby doc that we already have 25 minutes whacked up from, and that's the way it works. Yeah, these guys, we were lucky enough to interview the Dan Gurneys and the Bondurants and all these kind of legendary guys as they're either expiring or did expire. I mean, they're no more, and they were all over this sort of golden era of racing, and they're all going now or gone. So we were fortunate enough to sit down for like long interviews while they just told us everything they knew. All right, so nice job, and go movies. Watch those movies. All right, let's see. Check out. Thanks, Max. But yeah, If you see it on Netflix, give it a thumbs up. It it helps for the next thing we try to sell them. Castrol Edge. Tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge for your questions, and we'll answer them. Brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. 3 times.
Oh, hell yeah.
What do you got, Max Pata?
At Ed Dunbar on Twitter wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge, what's the best air freshener?
Slice is pretty thin now.
The best one is the one you don't need.
So no air conditioner?
I don't know. Everyone, people say that.
Pine. Leather.
Best contraception? Abstinence. All right. Best hangover? I do not like when people, I feel the same way about air fresheners as I kind of do about toothpaste. Like, I don't like grape and sweet and gooey smelling
syrupy
stuff.
Yeah.
There's some air fresheners that are waxy, smelly. They smell like white diamonds, like Liz Taylor. Like, it shouldn't be perfumey. It should be clean smelling, like a citrusy, piney, a linen.
I was going to say lemon.
Yeah,
it smells
lemon.
Like
yes,
cleaner that, anyway.
Like a clean smell, not a perfumed smell. Like
potpourri.
Right, because it's not pie. It's smell.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you want that. Like you. Here's what you should be shooting for. You've walked into the
best bathroom in the United States. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You're right here, Cruella de Vil.
You're cutting the ribbon on the best bathroom ever. You walk in and you go, what is that? Mm. That's sort of sanitary, meets clean, meets could fresh. Do surgery in here. Yeah. Right.
We should go to the Four Seasons and see what they smell like.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Vinny Tortorich coming up next. We'll talk to him right after this.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.